The scripture lesson today comes to us from the Epistle of Romans. We read chapter 6. Listen in this chapter about how baptism is once and forever. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are no longer under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of our natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. The advantage you get is holiness. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today we're going to baptize Nicholas Barry Simsek, and we're going to do it once and forever. Once and forever is not once and for all. There's a difference. And in understanding that difference, we will come to better understand and appreciate the sacrament of baptism. Sometimes we in the Reformed tradition are really not quite sure what to do with our sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism. We know the Lord's Supper is not the Mass. Sometimes we call it the Eucharist. And most of the time we call it communion. And as for baptism, we sprinkle, others immerse. Even though we could do that if we wanted to, any form is permissible in the Reformed Church of America. And we mistakenly think the fundamentalist churches have some corner on baptizing adults by immersion. Not so. In Kentucky, most of all the Reformed churches in America there baptize adults by immersion. And so to better understand baptism, I want you to consider once and forever versus once and for all. Once and for all means once for all time, final, as in over and done. Once and forever carries the meaning of always, ongoing, a permanently new condition. Once and for all can be construed as let's get it settled. Like when we say to our children, that's it, the answer is no, once and for all. However, once and forever feels different. It feels better. It's more majestic. Because it is. I mean, how much do we do in our lifetime that we do forever? Is there any accomplishment that is good for that long? Is there any invention that can't be improved? Will the Gillette Razor Company ever tire of new models and more blades? I don't think so. Is there any model car or detergent that will never be new and improved because it's as new and as improved as it can get? Oh, no. Maybe certain art and music, maybe, depending on taste, comes close to forever. But there's always new arrangements. And there's always deeper interpretations. There is nothing material that lasts forever. Only spiritual matters and issues are forever. And so if you and I want to be involved in forever, it's got to be at a spiritual level. Jesus was talking about that in very familiar words during the Sermon on the Mount. You know the words, but think of them not just as familiar, but as forever words. Listen, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, this morning our hearts are turned toward Nicholas, the baby we're going to baptize. And we are thinking about all the children of the church and their importance. Not because they're sweet and beautiful, which they are. Not because it's a joy to share in their family's joy, which it is. But we are going to do something this morning that is once and forever. Think of that. This is something in which we are involved that is spiritual, everlasting, and states where we put our treasure, our deepest value. This is where our hearts are now, and it's where they will be forever. Listen for that later on in the baptism liturgy, and we know that well. We've heard it many times. But for a few moments, think with me about baptism as once and forever. Sacrament of baptism is done only once. It's not repeated like the Lord's Supper. Communion is for our continuing spiritual nourishment. Baptism is a statement, a picture of a forever relationship that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ by the action of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we do in and of ourselves, and therefore do whenever and wherever we please. The reason for the onceness of baptism is to remind us of the onceness of the cross. The Bible mentions again and again in Christ, you and I are baptized into his death for sin on the cross and into his whole life, death, resurrection, and glory. To be baptized into Christ is to be baptized into his sufficient and complete sacrifice for sin. There are no sins that we committed, that we are committing, or that we will commit that have not been paid for at Calvary. All the sins of those in Christ are covered at the cross, past, present, and future. The cleansing takes place once and forever. To be rebaptized as an adult after being baptized as an infant places the emphasis on our action, and it takes away from God's action. That's why baptism is only done once. Our spiritual forefather put it like this. John Calvin wrote, "We must realize that at whatever time we are baptized, we are once for all washed and purged for our whole life. Therefore, as often as we fall away, we ought to recall our baptism and fortify our minds with it, that we may always be sure and confident of the forgiveness of sins." Martin Luther felt the same way. Martin Luther was a man of many passions. He used to get very depressed. He had very black times. And when he would fall into one of these moods, he would chant to help move himself out of the mood. And this is what he would chant. "I am baptized. I am baptized." But more simply, we're not baptized so God will love us. We are baptized because he loves us. In recognition and respect of God's powerful love, baptism is done once. And we are baptized forever. Biblically understood, baptism into Christ is a kind of day after day forever. Baptism is not some heavenly insurance policy. That's once and for all. Everything's taken care of. Baptism does not allow us to retreat from the struggle of everyday life into a cozy relationship strictly within the walls and the records of church. Rather, in Christ, we who are baptized have to take our Christness, our Christianity, into all of life, including the pressures of work, the frustration of relatives, the irritations of thoughtless people, and the temptations of day-to-day life to be less than God wants us to be. It is there, in everyday life, that honesty and righteousness and the love of Christ must be seen in Christians. Francis of Assisi had a very good way of saying that. He said, "Preach the gospel at all times. Only when absolutely necessary, use words." The one-time cleansing of the cross, represented by the water of baptism, is also the forever cleansing of and for a whole lifetime. It is that complete and continual day-to-day forever results that point toward a life that's not fragmented and broken up, but a whole unified, confident approach to living. At this point, we have to note the parental vows at baptism and the congregational vows that we will take in a few moments. Until and unless our children see the difference our baptisms made and make in us, and the importance and the respect we have for the sacrament, how will they ever learn the value of their baptisms? Until they understand that we understand our involvement in the church as a part of keeping our baptismal vows, parental and congregational, baptism will never be all that Jesus intended it to be. The vows we will take are as real as painting the Sunday school room, teaching the third grade class, and supporting our youth in their mission projects. And with that, we come to infant baptism. That's a kind of a yes, but. feeling for some of us sometimes when we wonder that, well, we do it, but some folks don't. They only baptize adults, and we kind of wonder who's doing it right. Should it be infant and believer baptism, or just adult baptism of confessing adults? Or do we get to choose twice, once when our parents decided we were going to be baptized and once later on when we want to be baptized? People are still fighting about this. That's almost as important as the method of baptism. Sprinkle, dunk, pour, dab, whatever. Reformed Church has room for all. We baptize babies, children of any age, adults, depending on the choice of those involved, and we do it by whatever method they want. However, it's either or, not both and. Because baptism is once and forever. If your parents had you sprinkled as an infant in a Reformed church, a Reformed church minister may not immerse and or baptize you as an adult. That is basic bedrock baptism theology. But if it happened to you, don't worry about it. Because God forgives Reformed Church ministers who don't know their own theology. Take the same track with infant and believer versus adult baptism. In the Old Testament, circumcision was a sign of the covenant between God and his people. And whenever one entered the covenant and community of believers, circumcision was the sign. Back then, only males bore the sign of the covenant. So when a male entered the covenant community, he was circumcised. Didn't matter what age. When a Hebrew baby boy was born, he was marked with circumcision on the eighth day. Now, that infant certainly did not understand the bris, the ceremony, but it happened as a sign and a seal of the parents' and the community's faith. And that, by the way, is still the best definition of a sacrament, a sign and a seal. In many places, the New Testament states that baptism has replaced circumcision as a sign of the covenant whenever one enters the community of believers, as an adult baptized or as an infant baptized upon a parent's request. To suddenly refuse that to infants would have required not the silence we find in the scriptures, but a very large defense. So to understand the historical context of the Bible is to realize the place of either adult or infant baptism, either or, but not both and, because baptism is once and forever. Now, in studying for this sermon, I came upon something that I think is a little more than a fitting conclusion. I think it's an extra baptism blessing and a motivation for parents first and then for all the rest of us as a church family. Our children grow up. They move out. They move away. And sometimes they distance themselves from the church for a while. Sometimes not. But we always keep them in our hearts. So does God. And baptism reminds us of that powerfully. Once again, listen to John Calvin. For here we can see how God takes on toward us the role of a most provident Father, who even after our death maintains his care for us, providing for and looking after our children. For when we consider that immediately from birth God takes and acknowledges them as his children, we feel a strong stimulus to instruct them in the earnest respect of God and observance of the law. Accordingly, let us offer our infants to him, for he gives them a place among those of his family and household, that is, the members of the church. Even after our death, God maintains his care for us by providing for and looking after our children. How could we go from this life to the next and call it heaven if we thought we were deserting our kids? We couldn't. And we don't have to, because of baptism. It's one of the things that we do that is once and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, for the blessing of baptism, for the promise of your eternal care, we bless your name. Grant us a renewal of faith each time we participate in the sacrament, and as we keep our baptismal vows day after day. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake and ours. Amen.